Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you.
Good afternoon. Good morning, everyone. You're talking with your host, Kareem Ali, as we commemorate the anniversary of the march on Selma today, where President Obama and the First Lady, Michelle Obama, and about 100 members of Congress are converging on Selma, Alabama, this Saturday, as we commemorate the 50th anniversary of the landmark civil rights movement. There will be a lot of individuals proceeding this particular day, where President Obama will speak in the Riverside town to commemorate Bloody Sunday, the day in 1965 when the police attacked marchers demonstrating voters' rights. The violence proceeded to Selma's Montgomery march, heard about 2 weeks later. But it helped build momentum for congressional approval of the Voting Rights Act later that year. Thousands of people will attend this annual observation of the anniversary, and organizers are expected to attend. And you have also First Lady President Michelle Obama will travel with the president, as well as former President George W. Bush plans to attend. The congressional delegation will also include, of course, our native-born U.S. Representative John Lewis and Alabama's natives, the Monks, who were part of the march on the day. As we all know, as people crossed the bridge, at Edmund Putnam's bridge, police beat and tear gas marked at the foot of the bridge on March 17th. March 7th, 1965, in an ugly spasm of violence that shocked, rocked the nation and the entire world. Today, the struggle to overcome this legacy, Selma also seems to struggle with it. The city population is defined about 40%, 20,000 in the past. Last 50 years, Dallas County unemployment rate has nearly doubled the state average. The public schools in Selma are nearly all black, and most white folks private schools. Blacks lead the annual Bloody Sunday commemoration, while whites lead the annual reenactment of the 1865 Battle of Selma to attract civil rights and reenactment. The trip that marked the celebration of the United States' first black president, three of the most important civil rights milestones in America in our racial history. And what we want to do is talk about for a moment the reenactment speech of Dr. Martin Luther King as well, and that to get into more of the southern part of the economic justice. We have small cities across America, such as Jackson, Mississippi, on the verge of economic and environmental injustice that has plagued the city for years, and the troubling water system decay of its water and creating just a economic divide within the middle class. As we talk about this on a day-to-day basis, we want to really go back into giving an account of Dr. King's I Have a Dream speech.
I am happy to join with you today in what will go down in history as the greatest demonstration for freedom in the history of our nation. Five score years ago, a great American in whose symbolic shadow we stand today signed the Emancipation Proclamation. This momentous decree came as a great beacon light of hope to millions of Negro slaves who had been seared in the flames of withering injustice. It came as a joyous daybreak to end the long night of their captivity. But 100 years later, the Negro still is not free. 100 years later, the life of the Negro is still sadly crippled by the manacles of segregation and the chains of discrimination. 100 years later, the Negro lives on a lonely island of poverty in the midst of a vast ocean of material prosperity. 100 years later, the Negro has still languished in the corners of American society and finds himself in exile in his own land. And so we've come here today to dramatize a shameful condition. In a sense, we've come to our nation's capital to cash a check. When the architects of our republic wrote the magnificent words of the Constitution and the Declaration of Independence, they were signing a promissory note to which every American was to fall heir. This note was a promise that all men, yes, black men as well as white men, would be guaranteed the unalienable rights of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. It is obvious today that America has defaulted on this promissory note insofar as her citizens of color are concerned. Instead of honoring this sacred obligation, America has given the Negro people a bad check, a check which has come back marked insufficient funds. But we refuse to believe that the Bank of Justice is bankrupt. We refuse to believe that there are insufficient funds in the great vaults of opportunity of this nation. And so we've come to cash this check, a check that will give us upon demand the riches of freedom and the security of justice. We have also come to this hallowed spot to remind America of the fierce urgency of now. This is no time to engage in the luxury of cooling off or to take the tranquilizing drug of gradualism. Now is the time to make real the promises of democracy. Now is the time to rise from the dark and desolate valley of segregation to the sunlit path of racial justice. Now is the time to lift our nation from the quicksands of racial injustice to the solid rock of brotherhood. Now is the time make justice a reality for all of God's children. It would be fatal for the nation to overlook the urgency of the moment. This sweltering summit of the Negro's legitimate discontent will not pass until that is an invigorating autumn of freedom and equality. 1963 is not an end, but a beginning. Those who hoped that the Negro needed to blow off steam and will now be content will have a rude awakening if the nation returns to business as usual. there will be neither rest nor tranquility in America until the Negro is granted his citizenship rights. The whirlwinds of revolt will continue to shake the foundations of our nation until the bright day of justice emerges. But that is something that I must say to my people who stand on the warm threshold which leads into the palace of justice. In the process of gaining our rightful place, we must not be guilty of wrongful deeds. Let us not seek to satisfy our thirst for freedom by drinking from the cup of bitterness and hatred. We must fail to conduct our struggle on the high plane of dignity and discipline. We must not allow our creative protests to degenerate into physical violence. Again and again, we must rise to the majestic heights of meeting physical force with soul force. The marvelous new militancy which has engulfed the Negro community must not lead us to a distrust of all white people.
All right, welcome back, everyone. I am very honored to be able to take a moment this morning to play this portion of I Have a Dream speech on the steps of the Lincoln Memorial that Dr. King spoke about in the Civil Rights Act that was signed by President Lyndon B. Johnson. I want to talk about today a little bit about Bloody Sunday, when police set upon a score of people marching in Selma, Alabama to Montgomery to protest the inability to vote and being clobbered with tear gas until they were bloody. As we proceed to 2015, as we said earlier, President Obama, Mrs. Michelle Obama, the delegates from various places across the country, people who have made history in this force, they're coming to play tribute as Americans to those who changed the course of history at that bridge. Not just the legends and the giants of the civil rights movement, like Dr. Martin King and John Lewis, but the countless American heroes whose names are not in the history book, that are etched on marble somewhere. Ordinary men and women from all corners of this nation, all walks of life, black, rich, white, poor, white, scholars, maids, ministers, they all marched, who sang and organized to change this history for the best. As we observe the closing of Black History Month, walk into Women's History Month, we want you all to constantly stay tuned to Atlanta Mix. It is critical that Selma touched on the issues of voting rights. We now address economic rights, economic justice, environmental justice. In this part, administrations are challenged throughout all the southern states, including even now showing picture identification before being allowed to vote. These opportunities are moving critically through the paths of disenfranchised, mostly minority voters, and set back the gains that won civil rights marchers, including those who crossed the bridge. A divided Supreme Court vote 5-4 in June of 2013 to remove from federal law the most effective tool for fighting discrimination against voters. Ruling the case for Shelby County, Alabama, the High Court eliminated the Justice Department's inability under the Voting Rights Act to identify and stop potential discriminatory votes before they take effect. We are sitting here within the moment where President Obama will be speaking to the nation on this particular day, March 7th, 2015. You got to call at 347-989-8270 or follow me on Twitter. We appreciate that. Kareem Ali Bowen, your host and producer, at Ali underscore Bowen. As we start to continue to put out a social awareness, media awareness of all the injustices that are taking place in cities like the city of Jackson, Mississippi, where it's plagued with corruption, where it's plagued with individuals that are called the gatekeepers that have created an onslaught of disenfranchised people who are drinking water that is unsuitable for anybody to have. There's a small part of the investigation that was launched by the city. As we get into the rest of my shows for the remainder of the month of March, we will be tuning in to all of my channels, Chicago, Atlanta, California. Follow me on Twitter. This is going to get very interesting because I have first count of what is happening in cities such as the city of Jackson, Mississippi, from its purchasing person all the way to the top of the mayor. So you guys tune in for the next onslaught of interviews or just my account of what's taking place there. Thank you guys for tuning in.